Welcome to Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I'm your host, Lola.
And I'm your host, Orty. Today, we're going to be talking about five things we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech. So if you're a student or someone thinking about making the switch to working in the tech industry, then this is an episode for you.
And if you're new around here, both Orty and I studied engineering at university, which is actually how we met. And since we finished up in 2019 and 2020, we've both been working in the tech industry.
So we're still early in our tech careers, but I feel like we've both already learned so much. And a lot of this is stuff we wish someone had told us before we started, or even just in our first year of working. And that is why we wanted to share them with you.
Spread our wisdom, share all the things we've learned, you know. But honestly, everyone's experiences are so different. I feel like there'll be some things that some people think are just super obvious, and then other things people who have been in the industry for a while might be like, oh hey, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, totally. Not all of these things are going to be, you know, brand new information for everyone, but they definitely feel universal to us and our friends in the industry. And you know what they say? Sharing is caring. But before we get into all of that, as always, let's start by expressing some gratitude. So Lola, what are you grateful for today?
Today, I am feeling very grateful for meeting-free days. Now, unfortunately, today was not a meeting-free day for me, but this week I have had a couple of days where I just had like zero meetings apart from stand up in the morning. And then it was just like the whole day, I just got time to code and actually work on the things I wanted to work on. So I'm feeling very grateful for that, because I've talked a wee bit in this podcast about my secondment into a delivery lead role. And when I did that role, my days were just like back-to-back meetings and it was very hectic. So one thing that I've loved about switching back to being a software developer is now I actually get free time to do the work that I'm being paid to do, as opposed to just sitting in meetings. So today, that is what I'm feeling grateful for.
Definitely, I love a bit of focus time. Like, it's ironic for one of the things that we actually talk about later. Like, sometimes it is nice to have meetings to like break up your day, but sometimes you're like, I just want to sit down and get this done. So yes, that is definitely something to feel grateful for.
And what are you feeling grateful for this week, Orty?
I am feeling really grateful for journaling. So I had used to be really good at like journaling regularly and like taking that time to like reflect and write my thoughts and stuff. And then I hadn't done it for about a year and a half. It'd been a while. And recently I just had like a lot going on in my brain, just like a lot going on. And I was like, well, how do I like deal with my emotions? Like, what do I do? And I started journaling again just to like see if it made a difference. And it was crazy how quickly I felt like just being able to like put my thoughts into words with no judgment and also like not expecting a response. It was a really nice way to like deal with any stress going on and any like worries that I was having in my brain.
It's so important to have that space that you can just totally like express your thoughts, express your emotions, express your delusions. That's what I like to do when I'm journaling. I'm like, okay, I know this might sound crazy, but like XYZ, IDK, I'm so confused. But you know, just get all of those emotions out, get them on paper. You always feel better at the end.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I know you journal a lot, Lola, and that's actually what inspired me to start it again, because you were like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going through this, so I'm just going to journal about a bit and it's going to help me out. And I was like, should I give that a go? So maybe I'm going to add an amendment to my gratitude where I'm grateful for journaling, and for you, Lola, for reminding me of how great journaling is so I could pick it back up.
I love that. And now that we're feeling all zen and grateful, let's get into today's episode. So the first thing that we wish we knew before we started working in tech is how important it is to get comfortable with not knowing things. Tech is constantly evolving, and there is also just such a wide range of different technologies out there that it's impossible to know about absolutely everything. But this means that it's super important for you to get comfortable with not knowing things.
And don't let the fact that there's so much out there intimidate you, because here's a secret. The best experienced developers and software engineers aren't necessarily the ones who know the most. They're the ones that know how to learn and how to learn quickly. Because since you can't know everything, it's really important to know how to learn new things. And luckily, there are lots of different ways to learn. So try out different ways and figure out what works best for you. This might look like asking lots of questions, reading documentation, or it might be through trial and error.
Yes, I love that because I think trial and error is such a great way to learn quickly because you're getting that feedback immediately. You know, it's like, let's try this out. Oh, it didn't work. Okay, let's try something else. So as well as getting comfortable with not knowing things, it's also about not being afraid to make mistakes and instead to focus on learning from those mistakes.
Yeah, this is something I used to struggle with so much when I started off. I would spend so much time in my head thinking about the code I was going to write and planning it all out, and then I'd write it, and when I try to write it, I'd try to write like the most optimized code off the bat, which is bonkers looking back at it now. And that meant that after working on something for hours and hours, I'd have so little to show for it. And now what I do instead is I spend, if it's like a really big piece of functionality, I will spend some time, you know, getting my head around it and just like making sure I'm like following what I'm meant to be doing. But then pretty quickly afterwards, I jump into the implementation phase and try to just get something functional. And this ends up meaning that I get something working and get to test out my ideas really quickly by comparison. And then the tidying up or optimizing comes later. And if I made a mistake in my assumptions or my ideas, I find out about it really fast rather than trying to think of random mistakes in my head.
I love that. You're like forward thinking, like trying to think of all the things you could do wrong. But instead, you can just trial and error your way into realizing what the right thing to do is. And then the good thing about this is when you have something that you can actually show to your teammates in like a code review or a peer programming catch up, you can also get feedback from them on what you did and potentially learn other ways of doing things. I also make an effort to ask lots of questions like, oh, why are we doing things like this and not that other way? I wish someone had told me back when I started in tech that people really don't care if you ask a lot of questions or, you know, give something a go and make a mistake. The truth is, people actually want you to be doing those things because that is how you learn. You can't learn and succeed without failing along the way.
So to summarize the first thing we wish we knew before we started in tech, don't feel intimidated by how much there is to learn, and instead focus on getting comfortable with looking at unknowns and figuring out how to get started.
It can be really hard when you first start out if you're an overachieving perfectionist, just like we are, but it really is important to work on getting used to not knowing things because that's going to help you become a better developer in the long run.
Moving on, the second thing we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech is to not compare ourselves to others. Now, this one isn't tech specific, but it is so important, especially in an industry like tech, where there are just lots of super smart people out there. And as we just talked about, there is so much to learn.
Yeah, that was one thing that really scared me when I started in tech. It was like, oh my God, everyone around me is like a genius and I know nothing and this is so scary. So we totally understand that when you first start out working in tech, it really might feel like everyone around you already knows everything and just understands so much more than you.
But this isn't the actual reality, and there are two explanations for why that might be. So firstly, and probably a bit controversially, maybe it's not that the people around you know all the things, but instead they're just pretending to know all the things. You would be surprised by how many times we've both had an experience where we've been in a meeting talking about a piece of work and everyone has been like, yep, sweet, yeah, that makes sense. And one person asks what they think is like a dumb question. And then everyone else is like, oh my gosh, yeah, I actually was wondering that too. So yeah. People definitely sometimes pretend to know things because they're scared of being the only ones who don't understand something. So definitely be aware of that and don't let that make you feel inferior. The other explanation as to why it may feel like the people around you might know so much more than you is because the people around you might have been working for a lot longer than you and have really taken the time to build up the foundation. And this just means you should be making sure you take the time to build your own base knowledge rather than comparing yourself to others and feeling crappy. Like we said earlier, they can feel like there is so much to learn, but you can slowly chip away at it and you'll be a wise coda gal in no time.
This has been something I've struggled with a bit recently, and my go-to reminder for myself has been reminding myself, actually, I'm currently the most junior person in my team. So if I can't get a piece of code to work, or people are saying things that I don't understand, I know how easy it is to fall into the trap of feeling like, oh, I'm just terrible and I suck and I don't understand everything. But then I have to remind myself, actually, all these other people are more senior than me, and I'm not expected to know all of the same things as them because they have way more experience than me. And honestly, there's just no point comparing yourself to others.
But hey, we get it. Sometimes you can feel a bit overwhelmed and you feel like you don't understand the concepts that other people do. And for those situations, we have some advice. So this is something that I have found really helpful in my career, and it's something I often tell other people to do. So when I'm stuck on a problem, rather than asking someone who's more experienced than me for the answer to my problem, I instead ask them to walk me through their thinking to form a solution.
This is such a helpful thing to do because when you can understand the reasoning behind why a problem should be solved a certain way or why you should use a certain approach, as opposed to just being given the solution, you can better understand how to go about facing similar problems in the future. You know, it's really helping your problem solving when you understand the reasoning behind why something's done, as opposed to just being given, oh, yeah, this is the correct answer. It's kind of like that whole metaphor they talk about like, oh, teaching someone to fish versus giving them a fish.
Totally. And like I said, this is something that I regularly still do with anyone on my team that is senior to me. I'll let them know I don't know how to do something, or I'll even have a solution in mind and I'll talk it through with them. And when they tell me that I should do things a different way or approach it differently, I just ask them like, oh, how did you know to do that? Or why would someone do it that way instead of this other way? And it really helps to just see it from their perspectives. And sometimes they might even just be like, oh yeah, I've watched a video about this or I read a book about this, and then bam, new resource to learn from.
But back to the importance of not comparing yourself. Another really important thing to remember around comparing yourself to others is that different people bring different strengths to a team. Because no one is good at everything. Even though it may seem like some people are, we swear not everyone's good at everything. So instead of comparing your abilities at something you're just learning to someone who is an absolute master of it, instead focus on what your strengths are and how you can help other people. And if you're like, oh my God, I don't have any strengths, firstly, you totally do, you just may not know what they are yet. And also, your strengths don't have to be just in a technical sense. Like, maybe you're great at bringing your team together or asking questions to gain that clarity. And just remember that as you progress in your career, you will develop both your technical and non-technical strengths.
Definitely. You're not expected to know everything when you start. Everyone is on a different journey and going at their own pace, so remember that.
And that is why you shouldn't compare yourself to others. The third thing we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech is to not be afraid to stand up for yourself.
As we spoke about in episode 21, when we spoke about the challenges of being a woman in tech, there's a general feeling from a lot of women in tech that they feel like they need to prove themselves as being just as good as anyone else. We even had a quote from one of our listeners who said, I feel like I have to push so much harder to be trusted technically than my male counterparts. And that is why our next point is so important. Do not be afraid to stand up for yourself. And I think this is really important for two reasons. Firstly, you need to be able to stand up for yourself because no one else is going to have the incentive to stand up for you the way you do. And secondly, being a woman in tech, there might be times where you're underestimated or undervalued, which absolutely sucks. And you might feel like you need to prove yourself. And it's so important that you're not afraid to stand up for yourself in those scenarios.
So what does it even look like to stand up for yourself? Well, it can look like actively participating in team meetings, like sharing your thoughts and opinions. Let's say someone's talking about a technical solution and you have a really strong opinion. Feel free to share it. If you think that something won't work because another developer in your team hasn't considered, X, Y, and Z, then tell them. This can be really hard at first, so we totally understand that, but it's really important to stand up for what you know to be true. And if it ends up being that you're wrong, which totally happens, then it's just a great learning experience. Even if you think it might be a dumb thing you're bringing up, maybe it was something that other people overlooked because you actually have a really unique experience and perspective.
Definitely. And like to build on that, don't be afraid to point out the obvious. I am someone who constantly doubts if I should bring something up because I feel like it seems super obvious and everyone must, you know, must be following and I must be the one that missed something. But I've had so many times where I've brought up a point and I've just been like, hi, look, I may have missed something, but what about this consideration or what about this thing? And everyone has been like, oh my gosh, that is such a good point. We totally missed that. Or what ends up really sucking is sometimes I'll keep that quiet and I won't bring it up. And then down the line, it turns out that it's actually a really big issue. And I'm just like, oh, I wish I was brave enough to bring it up earlier.
Oh my God, yes. I've definitely had similar experiences before when I've kind of been sitting there like, oh, surely other people realize like this as well, right? Like, you know, this is a dumb thing to point out. But then I'll say something and then the team will be like, oh yeah, great catch. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought it was obvious. So don't be afraid to point out the obvious. And it's not just important in team meetings. Standing up for yourself is especially important when you get into things like performance reviews and pay negotiations. As we said earlier, no one else is going to fight for you the way you fight for yourself because you have that incentive. In situations like performance reviews or pay negotiations, come with evidence and be clear with what your expectations are. No one else is going to do this for you, so you need to stand up for yourself and justify why you deserve a pay raise or a promotion. We won't talk about performance reviews or salary negotiations anymore this episode, but if you do want to hear more about this, check out episode 25 on how to get a pay raise in tech.
Another area that it's really important to stand up for yourself is the direction of your career growth. If you've listened to our most recent interview episode where we spoke to Tracy Morris, who works as a head of engineering, one of the things we touch on is the fact that a lot of women like us have experienced people pushing us towards more non-technical roles. And this might look like being praised for non-technical skills rather than technical skills, or career development conversations being pushed towards a less technical direction.
And if that's something you want, to move into a less technical role, then yeah, that's amazing and that is great for you. But if you're like us and you feel like you haven't even really had the chance to fully embrace the technical parts of your role before you're being subconsciously convinced or even outright pushed to go into a non-technical role, it can be really hard and it's really important to stand up for yourself and assert that you want to stay technical.
I was actually talking about this to my manager the other day and she was saying that after listening to that interview, she had a greater understanding of why I've always been so insistent on staying technical and wanting to work on a technical development plan and get feedback focused on my technical skills. Because I'm kind of having to correct for those external voices and pressures pushing me towards a more non-technical role, which I just don't really want at this point in my career. Like, yes, down the line, who knows? But currently, I am super passionate about tech and I love learning about tech and implementing technical solutions. And I almost didn't get to this place because so many people were like, wow, you're so good with people and communication and extroverted and all of that stuff, that they were pushing me the other way. And luckily, I was able to stand up for myself and push back and say, no, this is what matters for me and this is what I want to do.
I love that because the pressure is definitely there. Like if you are a non-typical software developer, as in you have good soft skills or you're good at communicating and things like that, especially if you're a woman, you definitely feel that push out of technical roles and that maybe you would thrive more in non-technical roles. And that is why it's so important to stand up for yourself in these kind of situations. And if you feel like you're constantly standing up for yourself and it's just not being heard by the people around you, sometimes all you need to do is find someone different who will listen. Maybe instead of talking to your manager, you talk to another manager in your department that you connect better with and you get their advice on how you can better advocate for yourself. Or maybe you talk to someone else you know is in a similar situation and then you can help each other out and lift each other up in that way.
As we've spoken about, it's so important to stand up for yourself. And if you feel like you're not getting heard, it's definitely worth it to try and find that audience where you do feel heard. Moving on, the second to last thing we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech is that being a software developer is not coding all day, every day.
This is honestly such a common misconception, and I'm not going to lie, I also kind of used to think this, because I think people just assume that software developers just silently sit at their computers all day and code just by themselves, like super lonely. But guess what? That's actually nothing like what our day-to-day lives are like as developers. Thank goodness.
When I was studying engineering at uni, I didn't think I would go into a technical role purely because I thought that that's what it would be like, and I need my human contact, and I need to be doing more than just, you know, typey-typey on the computer 24/7. And luckily for me, I got to work at an internship where I worked on a proper software team before I graduated, and it was through my job that I was like, oh, a technical role doesn't just mean working alone in isolation, it involves so much more.
Same. I had a very similar experience where when I was studying, I was like, oh no, I won't be a developer, because I had this preconceived idea of what that would look like. And I didn't fit into that typical software developer tech bro stereotype who spends too much time online and doesn't like sunlight. But actually, being a software developer is really different to that. It's not about writing code by yourself all day, but once you've been a developer for a while, you'll actually start to really appreciate that focus time where you do get to just write code by yourself and you're not stuck in meetings all day, as you could tell from my gratitude today.
Yeah, totally. Like, I think what we're trying to get at here is if all you spent your time doing all day, every day was writing code by yourself, then that would be really boring and isolating. But don't get us wrong, it's definitely nice to have that focus time sometimes.
The cool thing is, even when I say I got focus time to code today, which I loved, I was also collaborating with my peers. So I was doing a bit of peer programming with one of the other developers in my team, and I was constantly messaging other people. So as you can tell from what we're saying, software development is a lot more collaborative than you'd expect. Like, as a developer in a team, you do work with a lot of people to help create the product or solution you're building. So it's not all on you. For example, as I just said, you constantly collaborate with other developers in your team. So this might be helping them write code for what they're working on, or them helping you write code, investigating issues with each other, designing technical solutions together, or reviewing each other's code.
You'll also likely collaborate with testers or quality assurance specialists, sometimes called QAs, who help make sure the software you're producing isn't filled with defects, as well as a lot of non-technical roles like designers and product owners to actually figure out what needs to be built and what the best thing is to do for your customers.
So yeah, you don't have to be a lone wolf programming all by yourself, and there is a lot of collaboration involved in being a software developer. Like we said, what you do as a developer isn't just coding. Some of the non-coding things you might do are things like actually designing technical solutions way before they even become code, with things like flowcharts and diagrams. And you also might do this with your team. You also tend to have lots of team meetings, for example, agile ceremonies like stand-up and planning and retro. And if those words mean nothing to you, make sure to check out episode 7 where we talk about all of the basics of agile.
Other things you might do are code adjacent, like reviewing code written by other developers in your team, writing documentation, investigating bugs, which are just defects that are reported by users or found by testers. And honestly, there are probably even more things that we aren't even thinking about right now.
When we were writing this episode, we started kind of thinking about how much of our time we actually spent coding. So we were curious about what the data said around all this. We had a dig around from some stats on the internet around how much time a software engineer typically spends actually coding, and we found quite a range of stats. So one study done by software.com found that based on the data of 250,000 developers, these developers spent on average only 10% of their time coding.
Another study done by Tidelif and the New Stack found their respondents spent on average around 32% of their time coding. And honestly, there were a bunch of other studies we found all around the place. And most of them were reporting the average time a developer spends writing code varying between 10 to 40 something percent. But basically, the point is these numbers show that software developers aren't just sitting alone on their computer all day, churning out code and doing absolutely nothing else.
Honestly, that just sounds quite sad, doesn't it? Churning out code by yourself all day. But absolutely what Autie said, there's so much more to being a developer, and there is a lot more collaboration involved than you might think.
And now we are on to the final thing we wish we knew before we started out in tech, and that is that not all companies are created equal. So this one's probably not a shocker, but when you start looking for a job in tech, you should know that different companies have different values, offer different benefits, and have different expectations.
It's kind of a no-brainer, but it is really important that you're able to find a tech company that aligns with your values. Like, if work-life balance is a super high priority for you and something that you really value, then you might not want to work at that big tech firm that rides their employees hard and expects 60-hour work weeks. Side note, just be aware that places that offer big dollar signs may mean big hours, so make sure you know what you're signing up for and that your expectations align.
In order to get those expectations aligned and know what a company's all about, there are a few key ways you can gather information. One way is to check Glassdoor reviews. So Glassdoor and other similar websites have reviews from people who worked at the company or currently work there. So this is a really great way to spot any red flags or green flags at whatever company you're wanting to work for. Another way is if you get a job interview at the company, you can just ask your interviewers questions about what it's like working at their company, like, what's the workplace culture like? Or how do you celebrate success? Or how does your company support work-life balance for its employees? So there's lots of questions that you can ask. You could also talk to someone who works the company that isn't an interviewer. And this will probably give you a better picture of what it's like to work there from someone who's, you know, not necessarily trying to sell it to you. So if you have an interview there, you can ask them, hey, could I chat to somebody that works here in a similar role to the one I'll be going into?
It is honestly so important to gather this intel and get these insights from people before you sign on to a company. Because I once interviewed at a company, which on paper, I was like, oh my God, this place would be so cool to work for. Like, I would love to work here. But didn't go as planned. I wanted to get a better picture of what it was actually like to work at this company. So in the interview, I actually asked the interviewer, oh, what's the culture like? And I got a bit of a disappointing answer. So I was immediately like, okay, that's a bit of a red flag. And I started to realize, okay, maybe this company actually isn't the best match for me. So after the interview, I also checked out their Glassdoor reviews, and a lot of the reviews said that they regularly expected extra hours, and they kind of abused the fact that the people who worked there were really passionate about this industry. So after that, and after assessing these red flags and realizing that maybe my values don't align with this company, I realized that this place was not a great fit for me. So it's really important to actually get your intel, get your insights, so you can make an informed decision.
And also, you're not going to thrive at a company that you don't share your values with. Like, I have friends that really do value the grind. They really want to work hard early in their careers. It's something that's important to them. They're happy to do 60-hour work weeks, and they absolutely love their jobs, and they absolutely thrive in them. I personally would not thrive in that. Whereas if they came to the company I worked at, they would probably find it really boring and not stimulating enough for them because there's this expectation that you shouldn't be working more than 40 hours a week. So yeah, you definitely want to find the place that like helps you thrive and makes you happy.
We need a 40-hour work week so that we can still work on Hot Girls Code in our spare time. There's no 60-hour work weeks happening between me and Autie.
Exactly. And another important thing when it comes to finding the right place for you is finding a place where you have allies. You want to work at a company where you feel like there are people there that have your back and want you to succeed.
This might come from having a great manager, or it might be having people in your team that just seem like really nice people who are keen to help juniors grow and, you know, easy to get on with. It might also just be having people around in the company who are keen to offer friendly advice and, you know, always keen to help out. All of these things can make such a big difference, especially early on in your career.
Definitely. One of my favorite things about the place I started my career in is that there were just so many people who loved to mentor others and offer advice and guidance, and everyone wants to see everyone else grow and exceed. And not only that, but if there were times that I was having issues or nervous about something, I knew that there were people that I could go to help me navigate it. Even when I had a manager that I maybe didn't click so well with, I still had other allies I could turn to get advice and help me out. And that made a huge difference to the path I ended up taking.
Allies are so important to have, so that's just one thing to take into consideration where you're choosing where you want to work. You also want to make sure that wherever you end up working has opportunities for you to do the things that you're interested in. Because different companies focus on different parts of tech, so it's really important to find one that aligns with your interests. Most companies will list their tech stack on job listings, so check that they're technologies you're actually interested in using and learning. Like, I have a friend who started working at a software company, and after starting, they realized that the majority of this company's code base was written in a language specifically created by people in that company for their software. So it meant that she was learning a lot about this coding language, which wasn't actually used anywhere else. Which, you know, that's cool. If you like the language, that's fun. But it isn't super useful if you do choose to switch to a different company. It's not a super transferable skill. So just keep things like that in mind when you're choosing where you want to work.
And definitely keep an open mind. So if there's technologies that you're not familiar with, don't immediately shut it down and be like, oh, I don't want to work for that company because I don't want to learn that technology because it sounds scary. Keep an open mind and don't be afraid to try things. And this also applies for different types of dev roles as well. Different dev roles have different skills you need, different experiences, and interest people in different ways. And if you want to hear more about that, then definitely check out episode 9, where we spoke a lot about the different type of roles you can have in tech as a software developer.
And that brings us to the end of the fifth and final thing that we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. I totally wish I could just restart my career tomorrow with all the wisdom that we've imparted today. But until we invent time travel, we will just have to share our wisdom onto you.
Exactly. And if you needed a reminder, the five things we wish we knew before we started our careers in tech were getting comfortable with not knowing things, making sure to not compare ourselves to others, the importance for standing up for ourselves, how collaborative being a software developer actually is, and finally, that not all companies are created equal. Our next episode is going to be a deep dive on the solid principles. So if you want to learn more about how to write, you know, clean code that, you know, follows these solid principles, make sure you tune in when that next episode drops.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would really appreciate it if you could share it with your friends or on social media to help us spread the word and get Hot Girls Code out to more wonderful women. Feel free to also leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
Thanks for listening.